This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
You know, you guys never give me a heads up about what we're going to play in that open. Who said that? Who said, is that the guy that eats mustard and peas in his pants?
No idea.
Oh, really? That sounded like it was a guest.
Seton got to have to check with our open guy, but I've never heard that clip before.
Yeah, I think it's custom just for that open.
Oh, got it. Awesome. Yeah. Well, it is true. Ross Tucker, the former journeyman NFL offensive lineman, filling in for Dan today on a perfect day. I mean, first of all, when I get the text or the call from Paulie, can you come in on January, what is it, the 5th? Paulie, what was my initial response?
Is that a Friday?
First of all, I don't talk like that.
No, not at all.
Secondly, I definitely don't text like that. Do you have a text voice for me?
When you text, it's entertaining for me to read the text in my head in your voice.
Well, anyway, it's an unbelievable. First, I love anytime I get a chance to be with you guys, any chance I get a chance to fill in for Dan. But are you kidding me with this weekend? I mean, week 18 in the NFL. With two awesome games tomorrow, the rest on Sunday. Monday night, the college football national championship with two undefeated teams, which I feel like is pretty rare, right? That the two undefeated teams both won in the semifinals against teams that had one loss. And then obviously everything going on with the awards and the draft. And there was no NFL last night. I got to be honest with you. There was some awesome NBA last night. I mean, Wemby against Giannis, that was amazing. Jokic, does he ever even miss? And then he makes that shot. I love his quote. I don't know if we're going to play it later or not, but they said, did you call bank on that? And he's like, my friend, it went in. I'm happy. It was awesome. So very much looking forward to the next 3 hours, especially 11:45 a.m. Eastern time, which I believe is when the brats will be ready. They actually take requests for Meat Friday because the guy said, Ross, what do you want for Meat Friday? I requested brats so that for my drive back to Pennsylvania after the show, I can get like a half full cup of spicy mustard and then like three brats and dip them in like old school Fun Dip. You guys remember Fun Dip in the day?
Oh, the best.
By the way, so task night, for my fraternity, freshman year of college, I had to eat 16 raw hot dogs.
Oh, dear.
One of my buddies had to do 64 slices of processed oil-based cheese. But the other guy, okay, had two sticks of butter and a Hawaiian punch bowl. He had to dip the sticks of butter in the Hawaiian punch and eat it like it was Fun Dip.
Nutritious.
That was brutal. I thought I got off pretty... I mean, hot dogs are just bologna. Like, I thought I got off pretty good.
Oh, that's true. You know, when you put it that way, hot dogs are just bologna.
And they're actually already cooked. You're really just heating them up.
Like, you ever have fried bologna?
I have had fried bologna.
Yeah, that's... That's where it's at right there.
Delicious. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to when you were in the league, you were what, like 310, 315 at your peak?
I used to go to training camp around 325 and play between 310 and 315.
So during the summer, were you trying to put on weight and keep your weight high so because you knew it would come off? Is that part of it as a lineman?
Well, so going into my second year, I was. And after that, it was actually the opposite.
Okay, so when you're like 23 and you're trying to get your weight up for the season, do you have to eat like certain kind of foods and decent kind of foods, or you could have like 7 bratwursts because all you're doing is trying to get calories?
So the only way I remember it is I remember it from like fast food restaurants. And I would say starting in 10th grade of high school, right? So I gained 3 inches and 30 pounds a year for like 4 straight years. So 9th grade, I was 5'8", 150. 10th grade, 6 foot, 175. 11th grade, 6'3", 210. Senior year, 6'4.5", 245. So I was averaging like 3 inches and 30 pounds a year for like 4 years.
And you're trying to put on weight.
Yes. And so when I would go to Subway, I would get 2 footlongs, double meat with bacon, 2 footlong BMTs, and I would eat them both. And then even when I was in the NFL, when I first found out about like Chipotle, in Dallas, I was playing for the Cowboys, I would get 2 Chipotle burritos and crush them both. Dude, you know, those things are as big as my big head. Like, it's like there is no way somebody should be able to eat 2 burritos. I didn't know any different. Like, I didn't know that normal humans, like, didn't order 2 burritos. Like, I ordered 2 burritos and I ate them. Now, like, I get a burrito bowl. Now I'm so lame, I don't even get a burrito. So, anyway, I just want everybody to get the visual of me in the car, on the way home, because I had to have one hand for the old steering wheel there. So dipping brats in spicy mustard. You guys actually have multiple options with spicy mustard out there. We're going to have to go over this because this is a very important choice. And it's also a very important weekend. This is the weirdest weekend for the NFL every year because you have these like win and you're in, it means everything game, Texans against the Colts. And then there's other games where it's like backup quarterback palooza. Like, we have a Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz game. I can't wait, by the way. That score is going to be like 42-39. And next week, people are like, they should start somewhere next year. Those guys deserve a chance to start. That's what happens when you're like a top 5 pick and you're talented and you get a chance to show what you can do. But this weekend, to me, it's really big for 2 things, or 3 things. Number one, it's all the playoffs and the playoff seeding, and we know that. Number two, it's the draft. And the draft order, which is a very real deal, right? Like that changes franchises. And then number three, and we're going to talk to Chase Daniel a little bit later in the show about this, backup quarterbacks. You know the way a backup quarterback works, right? You get a chance to start. If you play well, you buy yourself like 3 more years in the league. You get a chance to play and you pee down your leg, you're probably out of the league the next year. Like, for these backup quarterbacks, these games in Week 18 make a big, big difference. We're getting into college football with my guy David Pollack, awesome, awesome dude, in about 15 minutes. And then at 10:20 a.m. Eastern Time, we'll be joined by Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. There's 2 really important things to talk about with Tommy. Number one, Belichick. I mean, it's very, very possible, I don't, maybe likely, that this is his last game ever coaching for the Patriots. The idea of him not breaking Shula's record for the Patriots never really occurred to me until this year, but it seems like that's a real possibility. And then Tommy is a voter for the AP Awards. So you got Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, which is like the weirdest award, MVP. So I want to get into that a little bit with him because I feel like there's not a consensus on a lot of these awards. And how about this? Like, Defensive Player of the Year, I don't think Myles Garrett is going to play for the Browns on Sunday because they're sitting Joe Flacco. But then Micah Parsons will play for the Cowboys. So what happens if, like, Micah Parsons has 3 sacks because the Commanders are not good and Myles Garrett doesn't play, and as a result, the Cowboys get the number 2 seed and they win the NFC East? Is that enough? Do you think a voter takes into account that Myles Garrett didn't play the last game, or do they just look at the stats and see quarterback hits and sacks and forced fumbles and all that stuff.
It seems like sitting can help you. Like Lamar Jackson's got it. He's all set for the MVP. But like if TJ Watt has two strip sack fumbles, does it, like if it's...
Especially since that's a standalone game.
Yeah.
It's the only game on tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time.
You can kind of steal maybe 10% of the vote at the end if the vote was close, maybe.
Correct. There's a very real chance Micah Parsons is the runner-up for the third straight year. Can you guys think, are there like NBA MVPs or NFL? I can't think of another guy for a major award that got second 3 years in a row. I feel like there's an NBA guy that finally broke through, maybe even like in the 80s or 90s. Was it Barkley that was always knocking at the door and almost the MVP, and then he finally won it once?
I think Barkley was second 1 year, even though he had more first place votes than Magic Johnson.
Yes.
But I'm not sure if it 3 years in a row sounds ridiculous, though.
I mean, that's rough. I mean, because listen, Micah Parsons, if he was already three-time defensive player of the year his first 3 years, he would already be going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame after 3 years. He would be the earliest guy that's a lock for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he's been this close the last 3 years. Yeah, Paulie.
I've got MVP runner-up history. Kind of easy to find, believe it or not. Larry Bird finished second 4 times for the MVP, and I think he won 3. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan finished second for the MVP 4 times.
Wow. But both those guys won it,
but can imagine
pretty
like,
early.
That means Bird could have had 6 or 7, or right. Jordan could have had, what? I don't know how many, 8? It'd be that close. Kevin Durant's a 3-time runner-up. LeBron's a 3-time runner-up.
So I'm looking forward to talking with Tom about some of those awards. Like my, I think the weirdest award is the Comeback Player of the Year award. I don't even know what that means. Like, comeback from what? I guess I think Flacco should win it, but what's he coming back from? The couch? Every time I look, the guy with the best odds was DeMar Hamlin. But last I checked, I think he had played 8 snaps this year
I think 5 snaps on defense. But according to Comeback Player of the Year rationale that's given to the voters, it's for award for overcoming adversity in the prior season. It could be performance. It could be injury. It could be not even being in the league. So you could like just have a bad year the year before and be in.
By the way, I last night stayed at the Stamford Marriott up here in Connecticut. As soon as I checked in, I got an email. Congratulations. You've achieved lifetime platinum elite status.
There you go.
I'd like to thank all the little people, like my bosses, that have made this happen over the years by assigning me to so many nights at Marriott. I have a question. How should I feel about that?
Do you get anything with that, like a bonus access or go cut the line?
Yeah. Well, Platinum Elite's high. Like, I get all the bonus points. I always get the late checkout, all that stuff. But, like, I emailed my wife, and she was like, congratulations, we should celebrate. And I was like, really? Like, should we celebrate? Or is it like, that's actually kind of sad that you stayed in the Marriott for 600 nights?
Well, I guess it's both, right? I mean, like, your career is going so well that you're traveling all over the place, but it's time away from your family. At least here's what I would say, right? You're gonna make those trips anyway. At least now your points don't disappear at the end of the year. Where you're like, right. What did I do all this for? Now I got to use a hotel room that I don't even need because I don't want to burn these points.
You know what's so funny, too? As I was driving up here yesterday, I called Marriott because I didn't get my 3 nights for the Army-Navy game because it was comped. And if it's comped, like, they don't give you the nights. So I did the thing where I paid for 2 sodas. At like the store there,
oh.
So that I had a charge, but they still didn't give me the 3 nights. So that's always a fun one too. It's like, how much time am I going to spend on this phone trying to get these 3? Like how important is it really to me in like the big scheme of life? But I think that's where the value is of now being Platinum Elite for life. I don't think I need to fight over those 3 nights anymore.
Platinum Elite for life.
Platinum Elite for life.
Oh, Mr. Tucker, thank you. We see your Platinum Elite. Here's your water and cookie. Thank you. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, Paul.
I don't know if you remember back in the day, if you ever stayed at the DoubleTree, they used to give you the warm chocolate chip cookie upon entrance. And that was, I didn't even need a bed in my room. As long as that cookie was there, that was fantastic.
But hey, that's so funny. Did you guys see on social media, @RossTuckerNFL, my move last week?
Oh, heating up the chocolate chip cookies.
Did you see that?
I did. Respect.
So there was like quesadillas and hot dogs, okay? But we're at the Bears game, Falcons, Bears. I'm in the booth where it's halftime. I was doing the game for CBS. It was amazing, by the way, like a bucket list, right? Like I'm calling a game, a Bears game at Soldier Field in the snow for CBS. It was incredible. So right before halftime starts, I noticed they have cookies over there, but they're like hard cookies, which I don't understand either. Like, if we all agree as a society that soft cookies are better than hard cookies, why do they make hard cookies? Why do they still mass produce hard cookies? Does anybody here, any callers, anybody on social media? I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We're at DP Show. Does anybody genuinely like a hard, like, chocolate chip cookie as opposed to a soft chocolate chip cookie?
You mean like more crispy? A little more, like,
no,
like when you break it apart?
You know what I'm talking about, Paul. Yeah. It's either hard when you touch it or soft. Like, you can almost bend it. Everybody likes soft. So I took two of the hard cookies and I put them on top of the hot dog cooker thing.
There you go.
And then I went in the bathroom. So the only flaw in this was that the other people wanted to get a hot dog, but I had blocked their hot dog access.
And you're probably bigger than those people.
Right. I blocked their hot dog access by putting two of the cookies on top of the thing.
It's a tough move when dessert is blocking the main course there. You're kind of dessert blocked.
By the way, I want to make sure to do a couple of things. I want to shout out everybody that gives us a buzz at 877-3-DP-SHOW. You can email us, dp@danpatrick.com. Of course, go to danpatrick.com, @DP Show on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, any social media you're on, right? So TikTok, Instagram, I think I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @RossTuckerNFL. Want to welcome in everybody watching live on Peacock, including my mom, Sandy, live on Peacock, my mother-in-law, Rachel. Thank you guys for watching, all of the Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And yes, I know a lot of you will hit me up later because you listen or listen on podcast. I got one of those as well, Ross Tucker Podcast, but I do appreciate your social media posts 8 hours from now. I like hard cookies, like as if it's live because you're listening on podcast. By the way, what I'm looking forward to, TireRack.com, the official tire expert and retailer of the Dan Patrick Show. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. Try the Tire Decision Guide and see the full line of Firestone tires. Special offers, free road hazard protection, and mobile tire installation. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. By the way, this is, people don't know, I had no idea we were going to talk about any of that in that segment right there. Like the cookie thing, the Marriott thing, like no idea. That's why this show is awesome. That's why you guys have the best audience. Love the Danettes. Love to be in here. Can't wait to talk with David Pollack. There's a lot of college football stuff to get to. It is 17 minutes past the hour. Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests. And in tournaments, to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Man, the tweets, or whatever we call them now, are coming in fast and furious. We'll be joined by my guy, David Pollack, one of the best college football analysts out there momentarily. You know, people are making a good point. I'm looking at all the people that are tweeting me at Ross Tucker NFL. They're either saying hard cookies suck, or they're saying hard cookies are meant to be dipped or dunked in milk.
And this is specifically chocolate chip cookies, right?
Right. And I think that's a fair point, because if you dip a soft cookie in the milk, it's going to like evaporate. It's gone. So you need a hard, like an Oreo or like a hard. Is it so? So is it fair to say everybody agrees that soft cookies are better than hard cookies, but you would only use a hard cookie to dunk it in milk? Is that fair, Marv?
I don't eat hard cookies. Soft cookies only.
But like, see, okay, when you say ahead. A hard cookie, like a chocolate chip cookies.
Why do you keep asking like you don't know what I'm talking about with a hard cookie?
Well, like a Chips
Everybody
Ahoy.
Everybody on social media. Yes, a Chips Ahoy.
Okay, so that's the standard, right?
Yes.
Okay. Calm down.
But you've asked like three times for clarity on a hard cookie versus
In terms
soft.
Of the hard cookie situation,
can you be in between the two? Can you be like kind of crispy?
No. No. Seton, what, you got to put it up for a poll.
I'm more, oh yeah, we're putting up there right now, which type of chocolate chip cookie do you prefer, hard or soft? Very pressing. We also have up there, who are you rooting for, Washington or Michigan?
Oh man, I don't think there's going to be many people rooting for Michigan, right? I don't know, I'm curious. Let's bring in my guy, David Pollack. He's such a stud, such an awesome analyst, has been for so long, the three-time All-American at Georgia. Anybody, if you're a three-time All-American, all that tells me is you didn't go pro early enough. That's all I know. David, it's Ross Tucker, man. Really appreciate the time. How are you a three-time All-American? Why didn't you leave school early the year before?
I could have wanted to stay to win a natty, but it didn't work. we weren't quite as good as these classes, man, that they've had the last several years. But I was a freshman All-American too, but that doesn't count. But the cookie debate is amazing. I don't eat cookies ever, but I always was the philosophy of the softer cookies you put in the microwave and you heat them up, and then the harder cookies, yes, you can. I think you dip in milk. But y'all ever heat the soft cookies up?
So just to make them warm.
Yes.
Yeah. Just okay. So let's talk about that, by the way, because I noticed the last couple years on game day when they would bring food out, you wouldn't eat it. So no. Like, let's talk. So what is this about? I know you're ripped, and I know you're. Is it just discipline? Is it overall health? Is it just you want to make sure you have the six pack abs? Like, what are we doing here?
All of the above. I mean, I think it's. I eat the same food every single day, and I'm very strict. I don't touch fried foods. I don't touch alcohol. I don't touch sweets. I haven't in ever. I haven't touched sweets in like 15 years. I haven't touched alcohol. I've said like twice in my life, but like just very regimented, very strict. I want to know what's going in my body. Okay. Ross, listen, we can both agree on this. We've both been fat. Okay. We've both been large. I'm just not trying to go back anymore. And I got to be very healthy in what I choose, because my metabolism ain't like a lot of people's.
All right. So See, this is what happens on the Dan Patrick Show. I have like all these college football questions, but now I have to know what you eat the same thing every day. Because by the way, I am very similar to you. I eat pretty much the same thing Monday through Thursday, but then I travel so much on the weekend, I'm going to enjoy the city I'm in. Like when I was in Chicago last weekend, I got a steak at Gibson's, right? Like I'm going to enjoy that. But I have to be disciplined during the week to be able to do that and not go back up to 300. So what do you eat every day?
Well, food is fuel to me. But I do a carton of egg whites and oats. That's always my breakfast, which I eat like around 12 or 1. Then I do Greek yogurt and blueberries is always my next meal. And then at night, my wife always makes some form of like fish, chicken, steak with vegetables. So that's my everyday. Throwing a protein shake in the morning, a protein shake at night, and that's my everyday lifestyle.
Talking with the guy, David Pollack, who, as you can tell, if you're watching on Peacock, is absolutely shredded. What do you weigh right now?
240.
Yeah, he is a yoked 240. Speaking of egg whites, let's dive into some of this college stuff. You know what's funny, by the way, David, and you're the perfect person to talk to about this. All the talk about the college football playoff and the four best teams, you know, I have a betting podcast and I was asking the guy, do you know that Georgia would have been favored on a neutral field against all four of those teams? So the whole notion of Alabama getting in over Florida State, because we got to do it with the four best teams, that was always false. That was never the truth because it wasn't the four best teams, because I still think Georgia might be the best team, David.
Yeah, and I'm with you. But the committee's been very consistent, by the way. They don't put in the four best teams. They always put in the four teams that can justify the best. That's what they've always done. That's what they're always continue to do. The cool thing is, Ross, in the future, we got 12 teams. And we're guaranteed to have the four best when we're picking out of 12. And it's going to be decided on the field, which will be super, super cool. But Georgia's, man, they're so talented, banged up at the end of the year, played their worst game against Alabama. Played really good. Georgia, caught some, had a bad turnover inside their own 10, missed a field goal and lost by three, you know, and that was including with some guys that were dinged up. So, yeah, I think a healthy Georgia teams was the best team in the country. But we've said that a lot about a lot of different teams, and you got to earn your way there. And look at Washington, man. How freaking cool is it that Washington, who, by the way, their last 10 games, Ross, their last 10 wins, they've won under 10 points. Like, hasn't been dominant, hasn't killed people, continued to win, continued to get rewarded, and now they're playing for a dang national title.
It's unbelievable. And I think that's one of the things that jumps out to me the most. Usually I feel like when you get to the college football playoff, the teams that have been undefeated, it's like they're almost due for a loss as opposed to like a one-loss Bama or a one-loss Texas. But that's not what happened. I mean, we got the two undefeated teams, and they've both beaten everybody they faced all year. I think it makes Monday night even better. And I think the fact, whether it was Michigan or Alabama, David, I really feel like one way or the other, there was a team that people were going to root against, right? So Michigan, yeah. I don't know if it's the Harbaugh thing or the cheating thing or whatever. Alabama, it was just people that thought it should have been Florida State instead of them. So I feel like a lot of people don't even know that much about Washington that are going to be rooting like heck for Washington Monday night just because they don't want Michigan to win.
Correct. But first of all, Ross, hold up now. It ain't just because of the cheating scandal. Everybody would be pulling – or Bama. It ain't just because – everybody would be pulling against Bama regardless. Like, people aren't pulling for Bama. The world wants Bama to lose. I mean, the cheating scandal pissed people off and made people cheer against Michigan. But when they played Alabama, everybody still cheered for Michigan because they wanted Alabama to lose just because they've been so successful. But no, Washington, underdog story, underdog quarterback, underdog coach. Like, there's nothing better than this. And here's the thing. Like, we talk about a day and age where it's all about recruiting. It's about getting the five stars, the blue chips. Washington's best players are three-star kids. They're guys that have been developed, that have been around for a little while now, with Penix being in his second year. Their left tackle, who's, by the way, what are the most important positions in football, Ross? We're going to go quarterback. We're going to go edge rusher. We're going to go offensive tackle. And I'll say nowadays football, you're going to go wide receiver. Guess what Washington has, by the way? The Mr. Underdog. They got four guys that'll go in the first round probably, and one in each of those spots. I mean, think about that. Like, they are really good where it matters. If Ohio State, Alabama don't have those great quarterbacks, when the elite teams have the elite quarterbacks, it's over. It's a wrap. When they don't, teams can get beat. And now you see Alabama. They looked really fallible. You see Michigan win. But how about Monday night, the contrast of styles? We're going to pitch it all over the yard. We're going to hit you right in the face if we're Michigan. So which style wins, a true blue blood versus a true underdog? I think America's definitely going to be with Washington.
We're talking with longtime college football analyst and former Georgia All-American David Pollack. You know, I haven't heard you talk about this, David, or asked you this. How much does the Michigan cheating thing bother you?
It bothers me. It bothers me just like the Patriots Spygate. You know, like, it bothers me because I think there are lines. Listen, we know this, Ross. There's cheating in every level. And it's your job to change your signs up. And it's your job to guard against it, you know, as much as possible and cover what you can cover. But there's also a line that you can't cross. And there's also a line, like, when you start filming different things, Patriots cheating, like big-time cheating, when you start taking it to that level, I think it becomes a different animal. And I think Michigan definitely took it there. And listen, you got one guy that takes the fall. Harbaugh gets suspended. To their credit, the way they've handled it has been amazing. And it's been a battle cry, right? It's been us against the world, and they've kept it together and somehow haven't, you know, lost focus. But no, it's definitely disturbing. To me, it's just like the Spygate. It's taken too far. There are boundaries and there are rules that are strict. Listen, there are people every offseason that get hired from different schools for that purpose, to get their hand signals, to get their operating procedures, to understand what they do. But to film different things and to do it to the extent that they did it to is unacceptable.
You know, it's interesting. Monday night, David, my initial reaction would have been that I think Michigan's just too good up front and can beat up Washington up front. I don't think that's the case. Washington's better up front than I realized watching them against Texas.
Yeah, I mean, they got, an offense, a left tackle that's going to be drafted in the first round, an edge rusher that leads the nation the last 2 years in pressures. So they've got some guys, man. They play physical. They play tough. They play hard. They play sound. Washington dealt with a little bit of injuries at safety. They were on their, like, fifth safety at one point. They've gotten healthier in the back end. They've got a really good corner in Prince, like a really good corner. So it's a good defense. It's not a great defense. Michigan's pass rush was insane versus Alabama. If they rush the passer like that and they can get pressure on Penix, that's the way you can absolutely beat them. I'll be interested to see how Washington – Texas had a lot of success running the football, Ross. Like, I think Michigan obviously is set up more to do that. I love the way Michigan finished that game against Alabama. Like, when it was nut-cutting time and it was time to win the football game, run, touchdown. Like, and they played physical smash mouth. So I think it is contrasting styles. The key to me will be Penix Jr., and it will be his ability to do what he did against Texas. When your offensive line gets beat, specifically in the interior, and they get beat, can you make a guy miss and deliver a strike? Because he did, man. Like, he consistently would. He's not a freak athlete, but he's got enough of that shake to step up and throw it. And when he throws it, that thing comes out hot, and it comes out right down the field, 20-plus yards down the field. He's the best in the country, and it just drops in a bucket consistently. It's unbelievable. So it'll be contrasting styles for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious just your thoughts on sort of the state of college football right now. It's interesting because with all the transfer portal stuff and the NIL stuff, and then you have all these bowl games where we don't know who's playing, who's not. But then I was looking at the ratings for the bowl games. It doesn't seem to matter. It really doesn't matter. It's like, which, by the way, is a whole other conversation. People really are just rooting for the uniforms, right? Like, it doesn't matter necessarily who's in those uniforms. Has it taken away your love of the sport? Because I know you love college football. Has all the portal NIL stuff hurt your affinity for the sport or not at all?
Not at all. I'll be honest though, Ross, when it started happening, you're like, dude, what the heck is going on? Like, this is strange. This is weird. But man, the college football is just the pageantry and every Saturday and just the traditions. And listen, I'm from the South, right? So like, this is not like a fandom thing that's one generation. This is like generation upon generation upon generations, like grandpas going to games with their grandsons and their son. Like, it's a family affair, man. Like, it just, it runs so much deeper. And you could take D3 guys and get rid of all D1 guys, and you could put them in those D1 uniforms, and all those guys could go away, and everybody would still cheer for their squad. They would still cheer for their team. Like, there's just something about, and listen, I'll be honest, you know, I got canned this year, so being the first year being on the couch, like, it was fantastic to have a Saturday, like, to watch, to just sit there and watch it all, like, to see it, to see the different games, and just to follow it. It was cool, man, just to be a fan. And listen, college football is healthy because all the generations of people that I'm an Ohio State fan, like, I'm a Georgia fan, I'm a Clemson fan, my granddaddy had tickets, I go, the stadiums are packed, the atmospheres are crazy. Does it lead more craziness, and are coaches losing sleep because the NCAA has done a horrible job of legislating the NIL and legislating the transfer portal? Yes. Does it lead? Does it give some people headaches, and does it tick them off? Yes. Are they still going to wear their colors and watch their team on Saturday? Abso-frickin-lutely.
You know, if anything, it's weird because just seeing certain kids even go to the transfer portal this week, it almost has like an NBA effect where it's like creates this off season of excitement and people. It keeps college football almost in the news more often, if that makes sense. It's really strange. Appreciate the time, man. Always good to see you. I mean, every once in a while, dude, just a little ice cream.
No,
like a little bit of ice cream.
Never. Hey, here's the thing, Ross. Know thyself. Your boy is not a one bite kind of guy. Okay. If one bite goes down, 12 bites, 20 bites, 30 bites are going down. Don't need it, bro.
Great to talk with you, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
See you, brother.
By the way, I know several people that are like that. Food is fuel. Not for me. Food is joy. Food is happiness. Yes, food is fuel. I know food is fuel, guys. I have a couple friends that are food is fuel guys. You know, and this is no knock on David because he's an awesome guy. But on a Friday or Saturday night, I'm not looking to hang out with food is fuel guys. Okay? I mean, I'm looking to hang out with food is joy, happiness, excitement. We got to dive into this when we return here. It's 41 minutes past the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sitting in this chair is all electric. Anytime I get a chance to fill in for Dan Patrick, Ross Tucker with you guys until noon Eastern time here on a meat Friday, Meathead James Vanderbeek. We'll get into that a little bit later. Right now, we've got my guy, Tom Curran, from NBC Sports Boston. Two very important topics to get to with Tom. Tom, always great to see you. Great to talk with you. Let's start with the awards, because you are one of the, I don't know, is it 50 or whatever, AP voters, 50 AP voters. When are the awards due? Like, when do you have to get your vote in?
The All-Pro is due Monday at 5, and the awards are due Wednesday at 5. Different format for the awards this year, too, Russ, because we're voting kind of in a 1 through 5 points value, as opposed to just saying, this is my player of the year, this is my MVP. Now it's staggered. I can vote for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for MVP, so there'll be a point system involved, which is an interesting way to do it, and I think it's a great way to do it.
I think it's a much better way to do it, don't you? Because, I mean, 100%. There might be a guy that gets a bunch of second-place votes or whatever, and other guys get some first-place votes, but then other people don't think they're as good for a certain award. That's a more reasonable mathematical way to go about it.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, we'll have the conversation forever about whether the quarterback should always be the MVP. I do tend to always err on the side of the quarterback because he handles the ball on every single play. He makes a decision. He holds the fortunes of the teams in his hand. He gets teams in and out of plays. He has to be the franchise hood ornament. So you have to be beyond exceptional to unseat a quarterback. But then you also, you know, I guess the obvious is Christian McCaffrey versus Lamar Jackson, or even throw in CeeDee Lamb for the hell of it. Those three guys look to me, or Myles Garrett. You got four guys who could all be, you can make a case for each one in one way or another. So at least this way, you get to throw it at each guy somehow.
Right. So if they asked you your opinion, would you want to wait till after the playoffs are over for these awards?
You know what? It's really an opportunity missed by the NFL to not have a playoff type MVP. Like, you know how they do an all tournament team in the NCAAs?
My point, Tom, is like, let's say you're torn on Coach of the Year between Kevin Stefanski and whoever wins the Texans-Colts game tomorrow night, right?
Yep.
Well, like, if the Browns go to the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship game, it would be stupid if it was like Steichen was the Coach of the Year. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like
you're right.
The playoffs matter. And for Defensive Player of the Year and for I think it's weird, and I understand why the vote is before the playoffs. But what we remember the most about a season is what happens in the playoffs. So to vote for the awards before the most important games happen, the games that we remember, it kind of skews things when we then think, wait a minute, that guy didn't win MVP, or that guy wasn't Defensive Player of the Year. Micah Parsons had 7 sacks in those 2 playoff games, you know?
You're 100% right, and it's interesting because those are the games, like you'll look at, for instance, I've made the case that at least Julian Edelman should be spoken about in a Hall of Fame conversation. People go, he was never a Pro Bowler. He was never an All-Pro. And you say, you're right. You're exactly right. And those are the standards by which Hall of Fame voting is done to a large extent. You don't even get there if you don't have those things. But he's the second all-time leading receiver in the playoffs. And the number of memorable plays that he's made in Super Bowls and AFC Championship games should make him a fabric of the history of the NFL. Again, I'm not making a Hall of Fame case for Julian Edelman, but at least a consideration, because those are the more important games than the, you know, a December game between, you know, the Titans and the Panthers. I mean, whatever. Somebody goes off in that game, big deal. You go off in February, that's a big deal.
So then my other question would be, like, let's say, for example, Defensive Player of the Year, okay?
Yes.
I don't think Myles Garrett's going to play on Sunday for the Browns against the Bengals. I do think Micah Parsons plays against the Commanders. So how will you factor it in if Micah Parsons has 3 sacks against the Commanders, but Garrett didn't play? I mean, is that a knock on Garrett? Does it only help Parsons? Like, how do you deviate between those two?
Yeah, that's funny, because, like, would I do that with the Week 10 matchups and compare the teams that they were going against in that one and go back and compare week to week? Who do they go against? Who do they play? Or do I look at the body of work in games that mattered and say, okay, you have the best player on a defense that has carried a team to the playoffs and is already there? And I think that I would, again, I'm going to spend more time on it, but I would lean towards Myles Garrett in that sense. Now you're a voter too, right?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, if I was a voter, I wouldn't have brought you in. I would have just said all this stuff myself.
Good point by you.
No.
What would you do with your coach of the year vote?
And I think it's Kevin Stefanski.
Should quarterbacks get the benefit of the doubt that we tend to give them as MVPs? I feel really strongly that you give 25% weight to playing that position.
Yeah, I think it's that valuable. I mean, and honestly, you know, even like when you talk to like guys about betting in sports books, other players don't move the betting line nearly as much as quarterbacks, which if we're talking value, if we're talking how many points they make a difference in the outcome of games, as great as McCaffrey is, you know, it's just very difficult when you compare it to a quarterback. I have a question for you. What do they tell you guys about comeback player of the year? Because that is such a weird award, and it's like, well, I don't know, I guess Brock Purdy came back from elbow surgery and Joe Flacco came back from retirement or the couch, and you know, DeMar Hamlin came back from obviously that horrific almost tragic incident. Like, I don't know how you're comparing these guys because it's like three different animals.
Yeah, it's completely, you know, subjective. And with DeMar Hamlin, have his contributions to the Bills been the same that Baker Mayfield's or Joe Flacco's were? Certainly not. Was his situation miles and miles and galaxies more dire than theirs? And the point to which he came back, he traveled a further road. Yeah, he definitely did. So are we talking about the impact made and the place that you started at as that's a breathtaking comeback, or production on the field? So there's no guidance given. It's a subjective measure. And I think that is just a great conversation point too, as to what would you use as a fan, because there's no way to measure. What would you use as a fan to measure the comeback? What would you say?
Well, I think you got to perform on the field. I think it's not just coming back from something. I think you have to then take it on. I mean, awards are supposed to be for accomplishments on the field, not just getting back. I feel like Hamlin's like in a different category. You know what I mean? It makes it tough. We're talking with my buddy Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, and he's got a perfect backdrop, which lets you know that he's the host of the Patriots Talk podcast, which is awesome. Let's get into that, by the way, Tom. Here's my first question. On a daily basis, how many people ask you what's going to happen with Belichick? When you walk around, when you're anywhere in your life, you go to the mall, do people still go to malls, whatever, wherever you go, when you're around family, how many times a day do you think someone asks you what's going to happen with Belichick?
I would say the percentage of people asking me in a setting in which the gym, Dunkin' Donuts, I would say it's really close to, it's a percentage, call it 70%. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with Bill?
So typically, do you go and get the donuts and coffee before you work out or after you work out?
That's going to be it's just going to be a coffee, first off. We're not going to go with the donuts. We're going to get the coffee early and we're going to work out later. But in the course of the conversation, I'll tell you what I say. They made a decision. Can Bill wriggle off the hook? Can Bill somehow be persuasive enough in a meeting at the end of the season for the Crafts to change their minds and say, you know what, let's run it back. Look, the circumstances don't lend themselves right now to us moving on. Because, Ross, that's the crux of it. As I reported, you know, in mid-December, at that juncture, after they had come out of Germany, not because of the game in Germany and the loss to the Indianapolis Colts, but at that point, conversations I had indicated strongly that the Patriots were going to part ways with Bill at the end of the season, and a decision had been made. Has he done enough in the 5 weeks since to change it? Or as ownership scrutinizes the situation, do they say, are we setting ourselves up to be a better team next year? Is this what's good for the football team? And that's a question that I think they certainly have to answer before they make the ultimate decision on Bill and actually follow through with it. So you can make a decision. You and I can both decide to, you know, jump off a cliff. But if we both get to that cliff, I go, Russ, it's pretty high. It's kind of windy. Do you want to come back tomorrow when it's less windy?
Do you think he definitely wants to be back?
Every indication I've gotten from folks reporting on it has indicated that he does.
Okay, because I didn't know if maybe he was ready to go to the Chargers or go somewhere else and try to win and break this record sooner.
Yeah, but the interesting thing, and I spoke to somebody on the staff yesterday, they said one of the most remarkable things about this has been Bill's consistency. He has shown not one inkling of drama. He hasn't blinked a bit. He hasn't mentioned it. The staff is completely in the dark. And given the Kraft family has not yet spoken with Bill Belichick, our buddy Mike Reese reporting that Monday is when the conversation will take place, Bill's in the dark. So as of this time, there's no conversation held, which to me, it seems really hard, Russ, doesn't it, to sit down on Monday and start trying to figure out how the best way to move forward is if you're going to keep Bill. You agree with me?
Absolutely. If they were going to keep him, they would already be talking about off-season plans and stuff like that. Let me ask you this, Tom. What would be his argument? Like, pretend I'm Robert Kraft and you're Bill Belichick, and we sit down and I say, Bill, I think we're going to move on. Like, try to sell me on your Bill Belichick. Try to sell me on why I should keep you.
Perfect. It's been one season, okay? We were 8-9. I kind of thought we were heading in the right direction with Matt last year. You didn't. Mac Jones was playing well at the end of the year. But you wanted to switch at offensive coordinator, and I love Bill O'Brien, so I said, all right, let's make that switch. In the end, Mac regressed. We had injuries. We had Cole Strange out. We had Mike Wenu out. We had our right tackles, who I signed in free agency. Neither of them were able to get on the field, period. So our offensive line was in disrepair. So we weren't able to protect Mac. And as a result, his decision-making really ended up being pretty bad. So we were victimized by injuries. But if you look, Robert, you look at our defensive side of the ball, we lost Matt Judon and Christian Gonzalez, our two best defenders. And we are one of the best teams in the league defensively. And if it wasn't for the turnovers and if it wasn't for the mistakes, we would be fine. Now, we got a quarterback, heavy draft. We got a top five pick. We got $68 million worth of cap space. Don't you want somebody who's experienced at the point of the spear here making these decisions? I can take care of this. There's circumstances that injected themselves into this year that made it this way. But, so don't talk to me about the Brady decision. Don't talk to me about the money that we spent in free agency 2 years ago. Don't talk to me about all the draft picks we've missed. Robert, you know and I know that I'm the greatest coach of all time, and I stand on that.
But, Bill, it's not a one-year thing. It's been three out of the last 4 years, and you're the guy in charge of everything. So why would your backup quarterback be a guy that you were willing to cut and put on the practice squad in Bailey Zappi? You could have given yourself a better option there in case Mac Jones faltered.
Yeah, you got me on that one. look at Joe Flacco. He's standing out there. He's minding his own business. We certainly could have brought him in August and not have to have suffered through Mac.
You know what's interesting, Tom, by the way? And you, I don't know how often you go on stations in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's most interesting to me, do you know that these other cities, they don't want him? Yeah, you know, like, in other words, I've been on in D.C., and I said, I think there's a decent chance you guys get Belichick because I think Josh Harris will, you know, he's a hedge fund guy. It's buying low, buying Belichick low, and it gives credibility. And he's like, we don't want him. I'm like, what do you mean? They estimated 10% of Washington football fans would want Belichick. Then I'm on in Charlotte, and I thought I can see Tepper doing that. Tepper needs some credibility. Tepper needs a guy like this. They don't want him down there either. And maybe it's just short attention span, and maybe if they hired him, Tom, they would feel differently. But I was blown away how many of these fan bases don't seem to want, like, it would not be a slam dunk home run, people excited about a hire because of what happened this year.
I've said the same thing, you know, beginning when the speculation was hot or began to warm up. I said, I don't know if people are going to be lining up for Bill Belichick. And people in our market said, you're crazy. There's definitely going to be people. And I've actually moved off of that stance, given after my report, how many people said teams will line up. But I think fans who say, I don't think I want that guy, are looking at the draft history, are looking at the offense and saying, it's an offensive league and they're scoring 10 points a game. And the reason they're scoring 10 points a game isn't because of Bill O'Brien. And it's not totally because of Mac Jones. It's because of the totality of the decisions made on the offensive side of the ball. Jacoby Myers going off on another 70 catch season for 700 yards. And the Patriots said, no, we don't want him. Give us Juju. The guy's right in front of you and you don't want him. Tom Brady's right in front of you. And you're trying to move him out the door, and you finally get him out, and he goes and wins a Super Bowl. So to me, Ross, you were here when the Patriots were an outstanding team. Bill's involvement with offense and his ability to cultivate offense has always been propped up, helped, aided by very able assistant coaches, whether it be your line coach here, Dante Scarnecchia, or the offensive coordinator. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road for Bill's next spot.
So there's a strong possibility, Tom, this is his last game there and last press conference. Will you miss him and his press conferences? Or if you're being honest, will you be glad he's gone?
Oh, no, I'll definitely miss him, Ross. Definitely. I mean, it's if it comes to pass, it's 24 years of covering the guy. I was here when he was here in 2000. We had a lot of good times in press conferences, a lot of laughs, even conversations on the phone and in person away from the stadium. So it's been a good relationship. It's just that's where the, you know, being at cross purposes exists with being a media person who does analysis as well as information gathering. You have to analyze the direction of the team and opinionize on, well, why are they the way they are? So that is going to end up fracturing a relationship. If I keep saying Bill has run this team kind of into a ditch and it's smoking and you have to make a decision to move on. That's the job, to look at it objectively, but certainly what he has meant to this region, the success I've had in this business and the number of times I've been on Dan Patrick is thanks in large part to the fact I covered a team that he was at the front of and helped to make as good as it was. So it's been helpful for me, obviously.
It's a really, really good point, Tom. Always great to talk with you, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Absolutely. There he is, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.